It is so good to be here with you today. Last year I was looking forward to this Mass and then it was canceled because of COVID. Go figure, right? But today we're here and it's so wonderful to have you all here today and in all your cultural splendor with your language and your customs, and because that is the church, right? That is the absolute beauty of the church. If there's one thing that amazes me about the church is how this message of Christ could be handed over to a group of guys in Jerusalem, a Mount of Olives, over 2,000 years ago, and they were given an instruction. They weren't given a manual though, but they were given a mandate. And they were given the mandate to take this good news that Jesus Christ had come to share with the world and to take it to all the nations. To all the nations. Now imagine if that was you standing there at Mount Olives, that the Lord would say to you, I want you to take this message to all the nations. If it was me, I would say, good luck. Good luck. It's amazing that this happened. It didn't happen overnight, right? But these group of guys that Jesus had chosen, who didn't speak Vietnamese, they didn't speak Spanish, they didn't speak our language or English or whatever, somehow in some way, through the gift of the Spirit, managed to begin over time, to visit each one of our countries in the world, right? And them and their successors and the disciples that followed them began to land on the shores of your land. This year, the Filipino community celebrates 500 years of the gospel coming to their land. And the disciples that entered these lands, successors of the apostles, the disciples that followed, began to dress themselves up in the language and the culture and the customs of the people that they now were there to serve. And that vision of Christ, that a universal community of believers would be established little by little, moment by moment, step by step, would eventually come to fruition. And today the Catholic Church is at every little corner of the world. Every little corner of the world. It's utterly amazing that that could even happen. It didn't happen without tears. It didn't happen without suffering. It didn't happen without the cross. And you know that all very well. It didn't happen with some of your own countries becoming martyrs for the faith. It didn't happen as easily as I just spoke. But it happened. And it continues to happen. And the fact that we gather here today is a witness to the fact that it happened. That we could gather around this altar coming from different countries and different cultures with different languages and at the end speak the same language and understand the same spirit and share the same heart. If there's one thing that I've learned, especially after becoming a bishop and having the experience of visiting different countries, is that while I went to a country and the customs were different, the language was different, the food was different, the way people acted towards each other and were different, there was one thing that I found in all of them, and that was that altar, as you found it in your country too, right? So you came to the United States, like my parents did from Cuba, looking for a better world for their kids, fleeing communism, looking for freedom. My parents originally came thinking that they were only going to be here for a few months. And my family thought the same way, my extended family. It's been over 50 years. Over 50 years. Actually, they never went back. And you have the same stories. And we came to this country, you came, and I say we came to this country because I told the Pope one day that I was with him in Rome. He asked me where I learned Spanish, and I told him my parents are Cuban. And he said, so you were born in Cuba? And I said, well, not exactly. I said to him, I was made in Cuba, but unpackaged in Miami, Florida. That's what I said to him. So in a sense, I came here too. I didn't originate here. I actually originated there. But we all came here to a different place, a different language, with struggles, looking for a better life for ourselves and for our families. Everything was so different. And it continues to be different. But there was one thing that was the same. And that was the church, right? That was the church. You knew that even though you didn't feel at home in the country, you felt at home looking for the church. And even when you weren't understood in the parish you went to, because that happened too, right? That happened too. You still stuck to your guns, right? Because you knew that the church was your home, your spiritual home. You all come to this country looking for this better world, and it's been tough. Challenging, difficult. Sometimes the wider culture around us, the dominant culture around us, doesn't welcome us all that much. Even within the church. Sadly, right? When I was a kid, I was back in the middle 60s. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the Cuban community in particular gathered in a parish in Union City, New Jersey. And I was a little kid, you know, running around. I didn't know the issues and stuff, but I came to understand them a little later as an adult. But I remember as a kid, we didn't have mass in the church. We had mass in the basement of the school. That's where we started our mass, in the basement of the school. Because other people occupied the church. Isn't that something? Interesting, isn't it? And then we graduated to the gym of the school. There was a graduation. We got promoted, so to speak. Eventually, that parish began to change. And Cubans and other Hispanics actually now own the church. Interesting, right? You know St. Augustine's in Union City, right? I went to that school for 2 years, or three. And so how things change, right? That community, my community that started celebrating the Eucharist in the basement of a school and graduated to a gym. We thought that was great. We got a gym now, right? And then eventually to the church. Now is the church of that of today there. Took suffering. Most of the people who struggled to make that happen are not around anymore, actually. But I visited there not too long ago and saw the kids running around like I did back in the late 60s, right? That little kid running around eventually ends up being a priest and a bishop. Who knows who was running around there today, right, as I saw them. And it all began because this group of 11 courageous men gathered a Mount of Olives and were faithful to a mandate. The mandate to spread the vision, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to all the nations. And we've had a long history with ups and downs and bumps and bruises. But we're still here. And you have all come to this country that is a country of immigrants. Sometimes we forget that. Unless you are an American native, a Native American, unless it was their country, right? We came and took it over, right? Unless you are a Native American, you came from someplace else. So let's not take ourselves too seriously, right? Because we sometimes forget that. We forget that. And we think that we were always here. Well, no, we haven't. They have, actually. They have. But this country brought us here, right? Welcomed us here. Again, with bumps and bruises, with challenges. But we're here, sharing the gift of our culture, the gifts of our customs, the gift of our language, the gift of our cuisine, the gift of our spirit, the gift of our soul, the gift of our faith. And we should be proud of that. And let no one take that away from us, right? No one take that away from us. The last word I'd like to share is to the young people who are here, because there's a lot of young people here. And that's really hopeful, isn't it? It's joyful to see so many young people here. I saw them dancing up the aisle. It was moving. It was joyful. And I'd like to share with young people a message, not my message, but a message of Pope Francis to you, in particular, the young people who are here. Listen to what he said some time ago. But it also applies to all of us, but in particular, he was talking to young people like you. So today, my friends, Jesus is inviting you, calling you to leave your mark on life, to leave a mark on history, your own and that of many others as well. Life nowadays tells us that it is much easier to concentrate on what divides us, what keeps us apart. People try to make believe that being closed in on ourselves is the best way to keep safe from harm. Today, we adults need you, young people, to teach us, as you are doing today by being here, how to live in diversity, in dialogue, to experience multiculturalism not as a threat, but as an opportunity. You are an opportunity for the future, for us. Have the courage to teach us. Have the courage to show us that it is easier to build bridges than walls. We need to learn this from you. And he finishes off by saying the following. Today, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is calling you. And you have to leave your mark on history. He who is life is asking each of you to leave a mark that brings life to your own history and that of many others. He who is the truth is asking you to abandon the paths of rejection, division, and emptiness. And then he asks, young people, are you up to this? What answer will you give the Lord? Are you up to this? And the hope of the Holy Father in all of us is that you are. Because in the world of the young heart, differences are not as powerful as it is on us older people. And I'm not that old either. Differences are not that powerful. So you have something to teach us, young people. Do it with joy, and do it with pride, and do it with passion. God bless you.